Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, everyone. This is your co-host, Tyler Yaw, and today I'm with
Chris Kellum.
And our special guest today is
Austin Wolf.
Thank you so much for coming on, Austin. I actually found you online, which is kind of how we got connected. That's awesome. And I didn't even realize it at the time, but now I do. So all of the indoor electronic billboards that I see around there, it might as well be street and all those other places that I go to often.
Yeah.
All yours.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I mean, you guys want to just dive into, you know, the business and or what do you guys, how you guys want to do it?
Tell us about yourself.
Figure about yourself, how you got started.
Yeah, man. So I came from a small town in Benson, North Carolina. Where are you guys from?
I'm from here.
I'm originally from PA, but my wife is from Irwin, North Carolina.
No way.
So yeah.
Let's go.
So.
You're basically family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, small town, you know, raised really, really country, and which is not really my vibe. I'm more of like a, I think I was always like a city boy or like a beach boy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just typical, you know, childhood, but got addicted to drugs in high school, which is kind of, you know, off the water, but that was my story. And then I went to Cape Fear Community College, transferred to UNCW, and pretty much started a company my junior year of college. It was a marketing company. I was learning from this guy named Ty Lopez.
I've seen so many of his videos.
I know. And they're a little funny, like kind of like too much sometimes. Like, I'm here in my garage and here's my Lambo.
Right.
You know, and so a lot of people are turned off by that. But for me, I was like, damn, dude, this guy can do it. Let me see what I can do. And I sucked at first, you know, struggled. I basically put my life savings, you know, I did not grow up in a rich family, you know, basically had to work hard. My grandma basically gave me a loan to go to California to learn from him.
Oh, wow.
We went to like a seminar out in Beverly Hills, and that pretty much changed my life. Just like, hey, investing my own money or somebody else's money that I had to pay back, basically like going to school.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
But this was like more, you know, hands-on, like, you know, learning from somebody who's actually doing what I want to do. So yeah, started that, and then that kind of just plateaued. I was going door to door. Bourbon Street downtown was one of my first clients.
Nice.
And then Parkway at Wilmington on Market Street.
Mm. Okay.
I just went there with my business partner. We door knocked. I was like, hey, man, we do social media. We do marketing. You know, can we help you guys out? And this was in 2017 when Facebook and Instagram was really taking off. Facebook obviously been a while, but Instagram really just took off. And you know, we just struggled. We really didn't know what we were doing, but we kind of did things. And then I met this guy named Gray Vick. Gray's an entrepreneur here in Wilmington. He's got a bunch of billboards. He was speaking at Business Week at UNCW. And I went up to him after, done some Gary Vee shit. And was like, hey, dude, can I work for you for free?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, dude. Like, he's surfer, laid back. Dude, you got to get Gray on the podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, he could probably put you guys on the outdoor billboard, y'all's face. That'd be dope.
That'd be pretty sick.
Hopefully too many women don't call.
Right.
But I know you guys have women. But yes, I met him. And then, you know, 6-7 years later, we kind of just had that relationship. And then we decided to partner up together. So he owns some equity in our indoor. And we basically do a lot of sales for his outdoor. So, yeah, man, just do a bunch of sales and marketing here at local Wilmington and all around North Carolina.
That's sweet. So one of the main things that when everyone asks, like, what do we do as Whiskey and Wisdom? Like, what kind of stories are you trying to promote?
Right.
And you kind of did exactly what most podcasts tend to focus on, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, in high school, wasn't doing the right shit, right?
Right.
Then, like, now I asked the right questions, I did the right things, and now here's where I'm at. So I guess my next question for you is, what was that catalyst for you? Like, what was that rock bottom moment where you were like, shit, this is not right? Like, this is where I need to turn the page.
Yeah, I mean, I had a bunch of friends that overdosed. Wow. So that was, like, really hard. My cousin died. I got really close to God. And so that was big for me. Obviously, you know, it was really a big, you know, kind of like a rock bottom for me. And I had to find him. And, you know, I just saw people. I was like, man, you only get one life, you know, here on earth. So why are we settling for average? Why are we just doing like the government wants us to be work till we're 65, retire, and then hopefully to live another 10 years? Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. And, you know, obviously that's why people like you try to help people get their finances together.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was like, man, I want to be somebody that my family's proud of. I don't want to be that guy that's under the ground. And so it was like really just, it got to a point where, man, I was just like, I can't do this anymore. You know, and I was partying, you know, doing the typical college stuff.
Yeah, right, of course.
But I was like, man, this is not for me. It's not for me. And I just got really honestly obsessed with like entrepreneurship and with growth.
Yeah.
Like I just got to a point where I was just following. That's all I followed. And I was just like a little above average. And I had mm-hmm. to cut a lot of people off that I grew up with and hung out with.
Mm-hmm.
But it just got to that point where I just wanted to separate myself from, I want to be the best version of me. I'm not in competition with you, nobody. I'm in competition right. with myself. And so I just had to get my shit together.
Yeah.
Like that. It's crazy because I was listening to another podcast a couple weeks ago. And when people typically think of like people doing a lot of drugs and having like a bad, like younger health, they're always assuming it's like in a big, big city. I was like, no, I mean, country people have, like living out in the woods, you still have issues too.
Yeah.
And I just want to like make the connection, like everybody, everyone's going through shit, but you got to find that thing that'll help you push past. Like the reason why I'm doing better, I feel like, is one, I got married, and two,
that always helps. That's good.
you married the right person. That, yeah, that, true. That's the statement.
True.
And two, building a good community in a small circle, like having those friends and people who are like, you know, this is what you want to do. I'm going to push you to try and do that. And I feel like you've done that to yourself.
Yeah. And like my dad was an alcoholic. He's still recovering alcohol. My mom was on drugs for 16 years. Like I didn't have the perfect mom and dad together relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandma basically helped raise me. Oh. So it was really tough, you know, seeing, you know, other people growing up that had more than I did. And it wasn't like I was trying to compare myself, but you know how it is when you're a kid and
yeah.
your friends down the street are going to Disney every 2 weeks and, mm-hmm. you know, you're just like playing Xbox.
Yeah.
But it was right. fun. It was dope. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Yeah. And shout out to my grandma. You know, I call her Nanny for helping, you know, raise me and just basically giving me on the right path. But it is tough, man. A lot of people think, you know, getting drugs is, but back in those like dirt roads, man, there's not shit to do. Mm-hmm. You get high and you get drunk.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I mean, it's like on some like Trailer Park Boys type shit. Sounds kind of redneck, but where I'm from is where I'm from. You know where
I was going to say.
You know where Benson is, brother.
Exactly.
You know where that is, brother.
Yeah, exactly what you kind of said is exactly kind of the, like when I go back there, like with her, like you can kind of see, like it's super easy. Kind of what Chris said, like when you think of like the inner cities, so it's like, oh yeah, of course there's drug dealers and stuff.
Yeah.
But like when you go and experience that area,
right.
it's like, what else are you going to do other than like drink out of the bonfire?
There's not much. Play sports and then you try to go hook up with girls. But, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, it's just, that's one of the things you do. You know, I didn't go to church at the times. So I just was playing sports and partying. It was fun, but it was stupid. Right. It was fun, but it was stupid. And
you I'm hit glad, that wall, right?
I'm glad I did it now and not in college. When I got to college, I started saying, okay, some people were dying. That's before fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So fentanyl was not even big. I was doing cocaine and Xanax and stuff like that back in 2013, 12, like 10 years ago. We never had laced Xanax, laced coke. Nowadays, you couldn't pay me to do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because fentanyl is in everything, right?
Exactly.
Not in everything, but it's everywhere. It's the number one killer for ages 20 to 45.
Yep.
It's the number one killer out of anything, you know, suicides, drunk driving.
Yeah.
Fentanyl is the number one killer.
It's ridiculous.
So, and it's big here in Wilmington, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we try to help a lot of nonprofits on the billboards promoting that, man. Can I tell a quick story?
Yeah, please.
This is a little deep, but this woman reached out to us about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Her daughter was going to App. She's from Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Her boyfriend or the guy she was seeing, let's say they were hooking up, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know at the time he was a drug dealer, but he had fentanyl in his water bottle.
Oh, geez.
She came to see him and boom, she went his, and he basically was mic. I don't know if he was microdosing or selling that out of the water bottle. I don't even know how you do that. She basically drank the water bottle. He didn't tell her, hey, I got a fentanyl bottle in the water. It's terrible. She drank and died instantly. And, you know, it's just sad. Her, you know, mom's calling me, and that's why she started a nonprofit trying to help people that have been victims of fentanyl who've been around it. And I'm like, man, that's just sad. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. The guy didn't even go to jail.
Oh,
so,
wow.
It's like, you know, there's so many like weird little things. And, you know, I just hate it for her. I hate it for anybody that's going through that. You know, like I said, my cousin, my best friend, I've had him die from fentanyl. So that was one of the big momentum changers for me in my life, mm-hmm. was seeing those people die. And, you know, you either got to get with the show or it's going to get, you know, opposite end.
Right.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Have you heard of Ed Milet?
Oh, yeah. Big Ed. I love the Ed Milet show.
Right. Exactly.
I love it.
Kind of what you were saying is reminding me of Ed Milet is for two reasons. One, two of the main things that he typically says is the first thing is you can be the one person in your family to change the whole dynamic,
right.
to like start the legacy.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you kind of look back and you're like, you know what? I'm going to be the one.
Yeah.
And so you kind of started there. And then on the side of that, too, is he always says, I don't believe God gave you another day of life for yourself, but for someone else.
Mm.
And just
wow,
kind of
powerful.
What, yeah. And kind of what you were saying too, by like giving that, the billboards and stuff,
yeah.
an extra way of just kind of putting it out there. So everyone driving every single day, the people that are walking along the street can see that every single day too. So I think that was really powerful, just the kind of way that it connected there too. And
same
what you said about Ty Lopez and everything as well. So I thought that was pretty cool. But to kind of go back to the professional life, how'd you get into marketing? Like what made you really interested in that?
Man, I was on social media. Like, so you know, guys know who Barstool Sports is?
Yeah.
Of course.
I created the Barstool UNCW.
Oh,
no way.
So don't judge me for it because I know there's a lot of videos. I don't run it anymore. Right. But I started it in finance class at UNCW. I was like, dude.
Ed Graham?
Ed Graham.
Yeah, I don't
blame
you.
And so I was sitting in there. I was like, dude, we don't have a Barstool UNCW page. I said, fuck it. I said, I'm going to start one. And then it started getting, like, I had like 100 followers the first day. I just started following a bunch of guys and girls that went to UNCW, whatever. Barstool Sports, the official page, it might have been Fifth Row. You remember Fifth Row?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Old Row? Or, no, it was Fifth Year or whatever. Old Row is different than Barstool.
Right. Yes.
That was like their Instagram page. They reached out. I was like, dude, who gave you authorization to create this? I was like, dude, I don't know. I just did it. I was like, am I in trouble? They were like, yeah, we need to have a conversation. So we got on a Zoom call with them. They're up in New York. It's like, yeah, brother, you're going to have to sign an agreement. You just can't use our name and be doing this stuff. And I was like, shit. I was like, this is either really good or really bad. It was never straight. They were like, yeah. So I just signed an agreement with them, basically just saying, hey, this is what I was doing. Basically didn't make any money, but, you know, got some free shit out of it and met some girls. And pretty much, I think I found my girlfriend through Barstool. So,
nice.
So it was dope. So that got me into marketing. I used to have a lot of sports pages. So mm-hmm. I was basically doing filming for sports. Yeah. Like Ball's Life, Slam type stuff, like mixtapes for football, basketball. Mm. So that's what I did. So I've been marketing my whole life. And I didn't even know it. So just kind of, and then I was like, man, well, businesses where you really make good money and where you can help them out. Mm-hmm. So that's where I got into.
Nice.
Oh, sweet.
So my question is, you were doing that door to door, which is I applaud everybody who has the cojones to like go door to door to like businesses and talk like door to door in neighborhoods is, I feel like, a little bit easier. Cause like, well, half the time, no one's going to answer the phone. But at least businesses, you're like, you gotta have something on your, like, in your head, something that will push you. But when you did that, what was the mindset? Were you like, all right, so we need to have this many by this time? Or were you just like, you know, let's just do it. Let's hope for the best.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
My last name is Wolf, so... I know y'all have seen Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
I wish my Instagram handle was Wolf of Wilmington. But, man, I'm just gotten that almost like savage mode. And I hate to say that, like, the way that is, because I'm not like a savage at all. I'm not like anybody scared of.
Right?
But I just got in that mode like, hey, I'm either going to make money or I'm going to go broke. So when you're in sales, I mean, you're in sales.
Yep.
You're technically in,
right,
you are both kind of like do sales. Like, you're, you know, if you don't make you know, sales, you don't make money. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, hey, I got to go out here and get it. And I don't care if nobody tells me no. When I was learning from these guys, they were basically like, you're going to get told no. It doesn't matter how many no's you get. It's how many yeses you get.
Right.
Out of the 100 no's, if you get 10 yeses, hey, that's not bad. That's 10 yeses may turn into 10 grand a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the time, we probably got like 100 no's. We got like two or three yeses. Bourbon Street was one of our first clients. Parkway of Wilmington and Kai, the spa over there by Mayfair. In the
Yeah.
That was a weird one. If you guys are watching, that was weird. You know, it was like we were. One thing I hate, man, is being micromanaged. I think humans do, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't want to be managed. Like, yes, you know, it's like we have to have people holding us accountable, mm-hmm. but they were just like holding us. Like they were micromanaging way too much. But go back to like your, like, how did I do it? We just went out there and we just tried to be very genuine. Like, hey, we're genuine. Yes, we're maybe a little aggressive of how we sell, but we're really going to help you guys out. We're going to provide value. We're going to over deliver and we're going to under promise. We're going to under promise on what we do. And that way we over deliver on what we actually provide. Mm-hmm. And your services and your products speak for themselves.
Nice. So, like Tyler was saying, you're in a few different places now. How many shops are you in? Are you just local or have you expanded a little bit?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, so we have like 50 indoor billboards all over North and South Carolina. Raleigh, Wilmington, Emerald Isle, New Bern, Smithfield, Johnson County. So we basically put up TVs in, you know, different bars, restaurants, and we advertise other businesses. So it's very similar to outdoor billboards, but they're just indoor. You know, we've got one next here to Beach Street, and we just help local businesses out. And so it's very affordable. You know, it's only like $40 or $50 a month for them to advertise their business.
Oh, wow.
And then we either give the host location, that's where we have a TV at. We either give them cash straight up for the year to let us put the TV in there, almost like rent. Mm-hmm. Or we give them free ads in other locations, or we give them a commission of the ads. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Nice. Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
And so before we started airing, you were talking about a course that you've started and stuff as well, too. So what kind of course are you doing and what are you trying to grow with that?
Yeah, so, man, I've started off like 3 or 4 months ago basically teaching other people how to start their own indoor billboard you know, like a company. And really just showing them A to Z, the blueprint, how to get from zero to, you know, six figures. With that, obviously nobody here in Wilmington, but like other people outside in different states, but just showing them how easy it is to really just, you know, go buy some TVs, go put them in locations and, you know, sell the ads. There's very low cost to entry. It's a very highly profitable business, but you know, you do have barriers to enter as far as like what locations, how many advertisers, do you have a sales team, what software do you use, what kind of TVs do you use? So there's a lot of different intricate, you know, problems that go into starting that, but you know, I've got the solutions for them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's always interesting because everyone's always trying to come up with some course of or something, but I feel like your course actually makes sense. Like, it's not the, oh, you know, how to become a billionaire by flipping houses or doing Section 8 and silly stuff all the time, but like that makes sense. Like, finding that's a good niche market, and I feel like a lot of people and places could benefit from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very cool business to be in. Mm-hmm. Advertising is a multi-trillion-dollar business. It's one of the biggest businesses in the world. You guys do a lot of advertising. Yep. You're at Reed's, right?
Yes.
Yes, I mean, you guys spend a lot of money at advertising. Yeah. But it's paid off. You probably see customers come in. You guys do all types of marketing, don't you?
Yes. People come in. They see our billboards.
Social media.
They see ads. TV. They do social media.
UNCW basketball.
Yes. I mean, so they're actually a sponsor. I want to say the ACC.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, that's right.
Reed's is?
Yeah.
That's awesome, like, dude. Because they're on the top of the, like, on, I can't remember what team it was, but I saw them, like, they're on top of the backboard. Like, this is Reed Schuler's.
That's dope.
But, I mean,
they need to get you on a billboard. Get your face up there. That'd be dope. And you too, Ty.
Yeah.
That would be dope.
I love the family, but I know I'm not part of the family. Do not try and put my face on a billboard.
So you know the value of marketing, advertising, and Tyler, I'm sure you do too. I mean, absolutely. You guys right here, what you guys do is, you know, you guys help brand other entrepreneurs and just people in general. It doesn't have to be an entrepreneur. It can be anybody. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Reed's is a good example of what they've been. They've been around since when?
For 77 years.
Mm-hmm. They've been around 77 years?
Yeah.
Damn. That means you got what, three generations?
Yeah. So yeah, that's wild. The third that's generation wild. Is working in the company now.
And Tyler used to work there too, right?
Yeah, I was there for a while as well, and that's how I met Chris.
Dude, that's dope. Yeah, I can see you guys just selling engagement rings and wedding rings left and right.
Yeah.
I got to come.
Yeah,
I gotta
we
come.
Were the watch guys over there.
The watch guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I do everything, but mostly watches now.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's good, man. And I think that's what business is all about, is providing good products and services. I mean, you see it in the finance industry, yeah. And you see it in the industry. Would you call that the...
I just call it retail.
Jewelry retail. The jewelry. I mean, so like services, everything. And you guys obviously provide good service. And that's where so many people make a mistake nowadays, is they don't provide good service mm-hmm. for their customers. Mm-hmm. They half-ass everything. When you half-ass something... I mean, I come in here, this is a really good podcast studio. Like, you know, you guys watching, if y'all ever get a chance to come by here and check it out, man, this is dope. It's a cool setup. And, you know, so many people just half-ass shit, and that's mm-hmm. why they don't get nothing done. I was watching something the other day. You guys know who Alex Ramosi is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he was like, man, he says the average millionaire has 7 income streams.
Right.
He said that's like, I mean, yes, most of them do, but you need to dump all your eggs, like what you're good at, into one thing instead of trying to do multiple different things. And that's what so many people, they see, like you said, like the get-rich-quick schemes.
Yep.
It's like, no, dude, why don't you focus on your craft for 10 years, become an expert. Once you take that money, then you can apply it to maybe rentals, stocks, crypto, whatever you want to do,
right.
Billboard business. You know, I think that's where people make mistakes, is they try to do so many things. And I've been a product of that. I've tried to do multiple things and I failed.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that too. One of the things I was listening to, and it made a lot of sense to me, is when you're first starting out, if you're trying to build 7 bridges, you're going to have 7 half complete bridges.
Yeah.
What you have to do is you need to get over the river first. And then once you see what the other side of the river looks like,
right.
Then you can start building bridges back to the other side.
I like that.
And I was like, you know what? That makes sense.
I like that. That's dope, dude.
That's interesting. I've never heard that story.
See, I've been on a weird, like, same with you too. Yeah. Like when it comes to like professional growth and just personal growth and stuff too, like I dive into all of it. Yeah. And I heard that one, and that's what like that's real clicked
one.
For me.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good one. And I think that really opens your eyes to like what's real. So many times social media and following other people, you know, it's just so much out there, man. Like just focus on you.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on you, focus on what you're good at, focus on what you believe in, what you're passionate about. The rest will come, man.
And one of the things too that I've been really kind of focusing on myself is like, I was at one point trying to find like all of these mentors. They're saying such amazing things. Like I want to follow what all of these people were saying. And then what it seemed like you did right away and took me longer to figure out is find the one good mentor that you want to be like, and just take that playbook and kind of going after it. So it sounded like you found that like with Ty and then with Gray Vic as well too. And you're like, hey, this is the playbook I want to go by. And you weren't just like, oh, and then there's this mentor doing this and there's this mentor doing that. So you just kind of found that one path and ran with it.
I think you got to be a sponge, right? Like, you got to be a sponge of how you take in information and apply it to your life. Mm-hmm. So that's what I try to do. And I am like, it's good and bad that I am, you know, certain people that I follow, like, and take with a grain of salt. Like, some people just say some stuff, and I'm like, the hell he just said? You know what I mean? And then there's some people where I'm like, okay, like, let me just really absorb this in and really look at it. So, but I think it's good. And one of my keys to the success was just reading so many books.
Mm-hmm.
I know everybody says, hey, you got to read books. You got to read a book a day, read a book a month. But no, like, there's so much good stuff out there, man. There's so much good stuff out there as far as books go.
What's your favorite book so far?
Probably The Richest Man to Ever Live. My grandpa, just a little backstory, he sold Michael Jordan his first Mercedes.
No way.
After Carolina, when Nike wrote him a check, he was selling Mercedes down on Leith on Capitol Boulevard.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And so he came and bought a Mercedes. He got 2 autographs, you know, gave one to my mom. And, you know, he gave me that book. And I was in, like, a sophomore in college, and I wasn't even reading books. Like, I fucking hated books. Like, I was like, I'm not reading another book. I got enough books from college. I was like, I'm not doing that. And he was like, no, you need to read this book. And at the time, I was getting, my faith was getting bigger in God. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I was talking about money. I was talking about God. It's kind of cool. Like, let's kind of match them together. I was talking about King Solomon. He was the richest person to ever live, and he had everything. I mean, obviously, he had some things that went wrong for him, but the principles of Solomon were super, you know, profound and things that I could be applied in my life. Just super basic life principles. Be nice to people. Work hard. You know, it's not like it was like a freaking maze and you got to sit here and do this. No, man, just follow these simple principles. And I think that really changed my life. And I got invested in books after that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. This is kind of off topic, but it made me think about it. This is the second person in a row that we had a story about Capitol Boulevard up there in Raleigh.
Yes. I mean, it is the strip. If you wanted a car or still want a car, you're going on Capitol Boulevard.
Capitol Boulevard has so many cars.
It's ridiculous.
If you guys see how many times I'm drinking water, it's because I'm on 75 hard and it's a gallon of water a day. I probably have to piss here in a minute.
Yeah.
it's good, man. It's cool. My grandpa, he's actually battling cancer right now. He's got melanoma, but he was in Vietnam, but a super big sports guy, just all around good guy. You know, sold Michael Jordan's first Mercedes and, you know, just did some really cool stuff. So shout out to him for helping me on my journey.
I like that.
Cool. Still up there in that Benson area?
No, he's actually in Wake Forest.
Way. Okay.
Close cool. to Raleigh. Yeah. Off Capitol Boulevard, actually.
Okay. Nice. Still up there? Yeah, nice.
Little Capitol Boulevard plug.
Right.
So I have my random question because I'm bringing these back.
Yes, sir.
When you get off 75 hard, what is the first thing you're going to eat or drink?
Dude, I love that question. Nobody's asked me that question yet. In 74 days. Tomorrow's 75. I would say pizza, but like, I know like a cheat meal, like you're technically supposed to have cheat meal, but like we didn't really do nothing crazy. Probably just some really good ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm not a super big drinker. So like, I'm not going to like go like down like a, you know, a fifth tomorrow,
right?
But I'm definitely going to have some Coronas this weekend. Yeah. My birthday Sunday. Probably ice cream, man. And, I don't know, like, honestly, like I've been seeing these Chick-fil-A commercials, the honey pimento, the pimento cheese, the Johnston County, like the Southern thing, pimento cheese. Like,
right.
I remember when Bojangles started their pimento cheese, like thing, and everyone in Wilmington was like, "Can we get it?" And they were like, "No, you got to go to Shalhoub.
You got to go."
Did
you go?
Not to Shalhoub.
They
brought it to Wilmington eventually, the fact that you had to drive an hour almost out of town just to go get this, and people were doing it.
Yeah. No, it's crazy that, you know, you build a brand and people come to you, right?
Yes.
And I think you guys are doing this here on y'all's podcast, right? You know, it's like you guys got to build a brand. And so many businesses, it's just branding is everything. And that's why, like, exposure, marketing, it's all like, if your business is failing, you have a lack of sales, which is a lack of marketing.
Yeah.
And that's the number one thing I tell any business owner, like, hey, you know, sales equals your business life. You know, if you guys couldn't sell engagement rings, y'all wouldn't be in business.
No.
I mean, if you couldn't sell, you wouldn't be able to people couldn't come in and just look for free.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, if you weren't making any money, you know, and, you know, I think that's why so many businesses fail is because they don't know how to market themselves.
I agree.
You got to be omnipresent, baby. You want to be everywhere.
Yeah.
I want you to be thinking about me in your sleep.
Yeah.
Not really, because that may cause some red flags with some you know, people. But
fair enough.
So it's super dope here.
So question, or one of my last questions for you.
Yeah.
What does success look like for you?
Man, that's a tough one. Yeah, I think success for me is just being happy.
Okay.
Right? You know, just being happy. Money, I make good money. I mean, money's not really a motivator anymore. It was at first.
Mm-hmm.
Success for me was like making money. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me make six figures. Well, once you hit that, it's like, what do? You hit seven figures, you just keep going and going and going. And it's like, it's never enough. Like, I like Grant Cardone, but for me, I feel like he's never enough.
Right.
He just keeps going. Dude, you're a fucking billionaire. You have a jet, you have a yacht, what's enough? So for me, brother, it's like having a good family, having a good relationship with God. You know, be able to travel a little bit, have a good business, helps out. But for me, it's just happiness, man. Just finding that peace.
I love it.
Because as a kid, I struggled with depression and growing up, just really was sad. You know, I really didn't have the positivity that I have now. So, you know, if y'all can experience that, you know how it is to feel sad, feel depressed for a long period of time. And then once you find that happiness, once you find that peace, man, that's success all day long, baby. Because there's so many people that got $1 trillion. They're not happy.
Mm-mm.
The people that are broke, that are living with their mom and their dad or their whole family, like, it's crazy how like the Spanish culture and the Italian culture, they basically take care of their mom and dad yeah. for so long. And that's why they live so fucking long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's because like, you know, they have like the blue zones, like they're with family.
Yeah.
The blue zones, man. And so it's like, dude, they are, that's success, man. For me, it's like just being like a good person in society and being with your family and being able to like do some stuff you like.
I feel like you kind of touched on what my last question is going to be now too, but I guess to make it a little bit more kind of like hit the yeah. point in, right? Is so if you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Wow. That's another one. You guys are dropping some bombs today, boys. Honestly, I regret doing as many drugs as I did just because, you know, health wise, but probably just, that's a tough one, man. I don't know. I wish I'd have done more things that I really wanted to do. Like my confidence wasn't as high.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't try out for the high school baseball team, but mm-hmm. I played in middle school. I got cut my seventh grade year,
yeah.
made it my eighth grade year.
Oh, wow.
But I was like, man, I'm not fast enough. Like I was fat back then. I was really overweight. And so I was like, I can't do ninth grade baseball. Like if I doesn't make the team in high school, everybody's going to laugh at me. Mm. That's one thing I regret because I never known what my potential would have been if I'd have, I was a damn good baseball player. I was just slow. I was just slow. But you had to run a mile in like 7 minutes. And I was like, damn, dude.
I don't think enough home runs, it doesn't matter.
I know, right? I wasn't hitting home runs. I was barely. But so I wish I'd have tried it for baseball and maybe just, you know, yeah, not done as many drugs. Yeah. It's like some Jordan Belfort shit, like Wolf of Wall Street. He's like, yeah, taking Quaaludes, right, just to get pumped up and get on the boat. But it opened up my life. But so I really don't regret too many things. But I would tell my future self, just or younger self, just to do everything I wanted to do and just take it with, you know, a grain of salt.
Nice.
See, I love it. Appreciate that. Yeah. Love that answer.
Yeah, man. What would you guys tell your younger self?
Oh, that's a great question. It's been a while. I told Tyler we should revisit this on a different podcast. I would probably tell myself, yeah, fuck it. Literally,
just fuck it.
There's so much stuff in life where you're worried about everybody else's thoughts. And
where'd you go to high school at?
I went to Laney.
Laney, okay. Yeah. And you graduated in what year?
7.
2007?
Yeah, I'm old.
You don't look old, dude.
It's because we're sitting in the dark.
Even on the anti-aging. So you'd say, fuck it. What about you?
Dream bigger.
Dream bigger. Wow, mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. There was too many times that I had my middle school and high school dreams, which are small dreams at the time, and just kind of kept on going with them. When I hit them, I was like, well, shit, now what?
So, I like somebody says, like, dreams so big when you tell people it makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like somebody told me, one of my clients or leads, yeah, she's not a client yet. I'm turning them into a client, but he said, man, I want a $100 million company. And most people be like, damn, dude. Or like they would laugh. I'm just like, hell yeah.
All right, let's go.
Let's run it. Yeah. Like, what is y'all's goal for this podcast? Like, what's y'all's goal here?
My goal is to get some whiskey for free.
You want some sponsorships?
We can get that.
Oh, I mean, we get sponsorships every once in a while, but it's always the joke is like, man, that hits my bank account every time. I'm like, because we're not bougie, but we're not cheap when it comes to buying whiskey, and we buy a lot of whiskey.
Yeah, mine for the podcast. The reason why I got started was a networking vehicle, more than anything. So just to continue building the network and building the community and making it an even stronger community. Where I didn't do it for this, but if it came down to it, and I was like, hey, like I really need help for something, that I built that strong enough community around the podcast that they'd come in and help.
Yeah, no, I love that. I want to talk to you about what you do, you know, and if you're a future conversation, and for you, I'm coming to see you before Christmas, baby.
Right.
I'll be there.
I need to get my girlfriend something, and if she's watching this, then, you know, you'll know that you got something coming. You just don't know what.
Right.
it's cool, dude. What you guys are doing here, man, it's awesome. I mean, I appreciate you reaching out, Tyler. And
yeah, definitely. Appreciate
y'all being great co-hosts, man. It's dope here. I mean, honestly, I'll be back here, you know, doing some content here. Thanks. How are you guys finding your guests?
Probably 90% of our guests reach out to us, and then we're just kind of sorting through it. And then the other 10%, it's someone we ran across or we saw something that was really interesting, and we'll reach out to you and say, like, hey, man, you want to come on?
How did you find me? But it's probably just curiosity.
I think I found you.
Was it on Connect Cape Fear? Or?
Yeah. Connect Cape Fear. I was going through there looking at some of those things, was like, oh, this is interesting. Let me reach out to this guy.
Have you guys, I'm going to get Gray on here. Gray, you know, and we'll put you guys, he'll probably just put you guys on a billboard for free for a few weeks. Sick, yeah. Have the podcast up there.
Yeah. That'd be dope. That's actually been one of my dreams is to have the podcast on a billboard.
What you do is you get a picture, you have a billboard of you guys up there. I know you guys, you need to have your face because y'all are the brand. And then you take a picture of that and then run a Facebook ad or Instagram ad on that saying, hey, check out our podcast, our Wilmington podcast, or contact us for a feature today. And what you guys can start doing is you can charge for people to come on your podcast. What Connect Kate Fear is doing?
Yeah.
They're charging like $400 for a podcast episode. Like that's branding. So you guys can do the same. And especially if your viewership's up. We need to get you guys on a billboard, man. I want to see y'all's face up there. We can make that happen for you.
Dude, that was one of my goals. Like every time I talk about raising more money, like, we're raising money to get on a billboard.
Yeah. Well, so, the billboard will be free. You guys don't have to pay for that. Yeah. So I'll look out for you guys on that. And yeah, I mean, definitely there's a lot of people around Wilmington. Wilmington's a cool city, man.
Yeah.
It really is.
You grew up here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't, but I've been here since 2014. What about you, Tyler?
I've been here since 2011.
2011. Dude, it's a dope city, bro.
Yeah. It's changing, but in a good way.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. We feel like everybody's coming together, man. Like, it's all love here.
Yeah.
Like, it's family. Like, even though we don't always act like family, you know, people down the street, you know, but it's like, man, like, it's really a small city. I mean, there's a lot of people, but, you know.
It's a small town.
Yeah. It's a small town. I love the vibe here, man.
I love it.
So
how can people find you then on social media?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram at The Real Austin Wolf. Pretty much Instagram is pretty much the main outlet. You know, you can find me on Facebook if you're over 45. Instagram pretty much. TikTok, you know, The Real Austin Wolf. I do a bunch of cool little TikToks, you know, just showing people different stuff. Like I had like I'm having a blank here. Bobby, what's the guy from Drive Fast? Ricky Bobby. Yeah, I was Ricky Bobby and like I did some stuff, like some content on TikTok. Cool. I got some views, man. That's dope.
I believe it.
So you guys should do something for Halloween, man. Y'all should dress up.
Oh. I don't know who probably I should be for Halloween. I still got to figure that out.
But yeah, man, I appreciate you guys having me on the podcast.
Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's been dope, dude.
But yeah, thank you guys for listening, following, checking out this story. It's quick, not too fast because we weren't in a hurry. But I just want to say thank you for following, comment, share. If you need some ads or you want to run some ads, check out Austin, follow his link trees, and we'll post some of his stuff on the podcast show notes.
Yep, show notes, socials.
And if you guys are a business, y'all have to definitely sponsor an episode. Come on now.
Yeah, agreed.
Come on now. What are you guys waiting on?
I'm down for it. So, yeah, thank you guys for checking in. We'll see you on the next one.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Let's go.